As Jesus is led into the desert to be tempted in our gospel today, it begs the question, why would Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, need to be tempted? Or why would his Father, God the Father, lead him into a situation where he's tempted? It also begs the question, why would God lead us into a situation where we'd be tempted if he's all good, right? And there are two reasons why Jesus is tempted. One is so that he could sympathize with us, that he could truly identify with what it means to be human. But secondly, so that we could identify with him. If Jesus in his humanity can beat these attacks from Satan, if he can beat these temptations, so can we. It gives us hope, because I think oftentimes you and I feel cornered. We feel like we don't have a choice but to give in to temptation, that there is no other option. And today Jesus gives us hope that it can be conquered. But why, when we pray in the Our Father, every day, hopefully each of you pray that prayer, when we pray, lead us not into temptation, do we still find ourselves every day led, or at least allowed, to fall into temptation? St. Alphonsus Liguori says there's three reasons. Three reasons why God allows you to be tempted. The first is this. The Lord sometimes permits that souls which are dear to him should be tempted with some violence, in order that they may better understand their own weakness and the necessity of grace to prevent them from failing. So a twofold reason. That you realize in your temptation that you're a weak human being, and that as a response to that, you call on a higher power. Many times as a priest or a pastor, people ask me, Father, what's the most difficult part about being a priest? And when I was a young baby priest, I used to come up with all sorts of reasons because each week brought a new challenge. But in the last couple years, I've come up with a very set reason as I examine that question in my own life. And when people ask me, what's the most difficult part about being a priest? My answer is me. I'm the most difficult part about being a priest. Why? Because priesthood, and I think any vocation, your vocation, my vocation, it brings up in us our weaknesses. Parents, you know this very well, right? Your children bring out the weakest and sometimes the most awful parts of you, right? And there's a reason for that. God gave you that vocation, not because he wants you to be a horrible, terrible human being, but because he wants to bring the weaknesses to the surface and deal with them. Bringing those weaknesses to the surfaces, especially with your children, gives you the chance to start practicing virtue. And it never happens overnight, and I know many of you get discouraged. Why do I keep getting mad at my boss at work? Why do I keep gossiping about the ladies at work? Why do I keep spanking my child? Because God wants you to deal with it. God's going to keep it rising to the surface. The part that we forget is the second part here that St. Alphonsus says. Not only to recognize we're weak, but then to call on divine help in that weakness. How many of you, when you're tempted, first tempted to lust, start saying a prayer? How many of you, when you're first tempted to have a drink or to do drugs, turn to prayer? How many of you, when your children spill something all over the kitchen floor, your first response is prayer? We need God's help. Secondly, St. Alphonsus says, God permits us to be tempted that we may be more detached from the things of earth and conceive a more ardent desire to behold the things of heaven. And I bet you think of any temptation in your life, any sin in your life, and St. Thomas would probably tell you that that's exactly what's behind it, is an attachment to the things of this world over an attachment to the things of heaven. Think of any temptation, any sin in your life. We get attached to the things of this world more than we are attached to God. This past week, we began our Lenten journey, and I challenged the kids in our school to give up their electronic entertainment for all of Lent. Their DSIs, their Xboxes, television. Some kid came up to me and said, "But Father, I have an e-reader and I read on it." And I said, "Well, that's okay. But the, you know, flashy entertainment." Had a poor kid came up to me last night. He waited till everybody was gone from church and stood outside the sacristy. And he came up very boldly, and I was very proud of him, and said, "Father, I failed. I played on my games yesterday." There are no plasma televisions in heaven. No cars. No Xboxes or DSIs in heaven. Just Jesus. And if we spend a life here on earth getting attached to all those things and not getting attached to Jesus, we're not going to want heaven, you guys. We're going to get up there for judgment and be like, "Who are you? Do I know you?" And Jesus is going to say the same thing to us. "Do I know you?" Spend a life getting detached. St. Ignatius of Antioch says, "Do not have Jesus Christ on your lips and the world in your heart." Lastly, St. Alphonsus Liguori says that God also permits us to be tempted to increase our merits. The good things, good choices would be a good definition of that. A merit being a good choice. He wants to increase those in you. How many of you are married by a show of hands? Some of your hands are higher than others, so thank you for flattering your spouse. How many of you would allow me to pick on you today if your spouse is here? I have to have both spouses here. Okay, good. How long have you been married? 27 years. Congratulations. And happily married? You better say that in public, right? And if your husband had come up to you on that day that he asked to marry you, and say he gets down, I don't know if it happened this way, he gets down on one knee, and he holds the ring up at you, and he says, "You're the only woman left in the world, all the others died off, and all the only woman I can marry is you. Will you marry me?" Are you flattered? Not particularly flattering, is it, right? Because she's the only choice. I mean, there is no other choice. Now, if he gets down on one knee and holds up that ring and says, "You know what? There's a lot of beautiful women in this world. There's a lot of intelligent women in this world. And I had all of them to pick from," right? Correct. Yes. Keep telling yourself that. But I wanted to marry just you. Is that flattering? Why? Because there are other options, right? And yet he chose you. And doesn't God feel the same way about us? You see, all throughout the Bible, our relationship is described with him as a marriage. And why? Because we have choices to make, guys, and we can choose other things besides him, whether they're worldly things or sinful things. If all you do is grow up and all you have to do is choose good things, is there any merit in that? Is there any good in that? No. But if you're tempted towards something evil and then choose the good, then you've shown what that couple has right back there, and that is love. You see, guys, love always demands a choice. It's not something, "Well, this is the only thing I can do, so I do it." But a choice between good and, in the case of temptation, evil. It allows us to show our choice and our love for God. God allows you to be tempted, to bring out your weaknesses, and to recognize that you need him and him alone. What weakness is God allowing to be exploited in your life right now? What do you want him to deal with this Lent? One thing, a weakness that he's exploited in you by temptation. And have you recognized yet that you cannot do it on your own, but in every instant must call upon him for his divine help? God allows you to be tempted to help you be detached from the things of this world. Blessed Henry Suso says, "A detached man should always be looking to see what he can do without." To see what he can do without. What can you do without this Lent? And lastly, God allows you to be tempted to increase your merits by making a decision for God. Francis de Sales says, "It is not always in the soul's power to not feel temptation, but it is always in its power not to consent to it." What choice do you need to make to show God that you love him? Brothers and sisters, don't fear temptation. I know many of you come to confession and actually confess temptations. Temptations aren't sin. Temptations are opportunities. God did not say you will not be troubled. God did not say you will not be tempted or distressed. But in the words of Julian of Norwich, God said, "You will not be overcome."